Good evening. I'd like to call to order tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. We'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by the roll.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Present.
Ms. Negron.
Present.
Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wart.
Present.
Mr. Walden.
Present. Thank you all for joining us this evening. Just myself and Mr. Bedoni here in the rotunda this evening. Prior to our consideration of the regular agenda items tonight, City Council will conduct a public hearing to accept public comment on an administration proposed zoning text and map amendment to create a student overlay district and provisions to address student housing, along with minor revisions to certain dimensional requirements and accessory structure regulations. In connection with the public hearing, there are two communications. I'll ask the clerk to please read Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, related to an administration proposed zoning ordinance amendment to establish a student housing overlay district in certain areas adjacent to Lehigh University, along with amending certain dimensional and accessory structure regulations in the RT and RG zoning districts. The City Planning Commission reviewed the proposed zoning amendment at their December 10th, 2020 meeting and voted 4-1 to recommend that City Council pass the proposed zoning amendment.
And Communication 6B.
A letter from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission concerning the review of the proposed zoning ordinance amendment to establish a student housing overlay district in certain areas adjacent to Lehigh University, along with amending certain dimensional and accessory structure regulations in the RT and RG zoning districts. The Commission found that the proposed amendment was generally consistent with the regional plan and also contained components considered matters of local concern. The Commission commented that implementation of the student housing overlay district could improve housing attainability in the city and mitigate effects on the real estate market and housing attainability by reducing market competition for lower cost rental housing. This supports increased stability for long-term residents and serves the intent of the regional plan to promote mixed income neighborhoods. Additionally, the Commission commented that the proposed amendment will provide opportunities for student housing in appropriate areas and supports the intent of the regional plan to provide a wide variety of attainable housing in locations that maximize social and economic opportunities for everyone. They also provide several additional comments.
Thank you, Mr. Bedoni. The public hearing is called to order. Considering the proposed zoning text amendment, I will now recognize Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, to discuss the proposed zoning amendment and the City Planning Commission's recommendations.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you. I think this is an ordinance amendment that you're familiar with. We had a committee meeting back in late October. There was an opportunity to provide comment. I don't think I need to go through the whole history, but we've been meeting with some of the neighborhood stakeholders and regulated rental owners and managers, and it's been a couple of years that we've been working on this ordinance, and we did as much outreach as I think that we really could to get input from different stakeholders in South Bethlehem. So I'll just take you through the ordinance itself. I think that we've talked before about why it's important to us and why we're doing this now. But there is a purpose section in there, and it does talk about some of that. But many of the provisions are pretty straightforward. We have regulated rental ordinance now, which is managed through the Housing Bureau. And this would supplement that. This would be in the zoning ordinance. So there are some provisions in here that just make sure that those two ordinances are comfortable with each other and that they work together. So we've added definitions here for regulated rental unit and student home. We tweaked the definition of half story. What we found was that some property owners, especially student housing property owners, wanted to build the half story into a full story to put additional bedrooms in. We found that the ordinance or the definition of a half story that we had was just frankly very clunky, so we're not trying to change anyone's ability to be able to use the third story or the half story that way, but we modified the definition so that we think it's more clear about what is a half story and what is not. In section 132701, so we start to actually talk about student housing and what it is. It's student housing is proposed to be permitted in the future in the CB, the central business, CL, limited commercial. So CB is the two downtowns. CL is limited commercial. That would be East or West Broad Street, East 4th Street, Linden Street, some of those areas of CL. IRR, which is the area of the BethWorks site where we allow residential units, and also within the overlay itself. We clarify in that section that the provisions will only apply to new student homes following the effective date of this ordinance. Any regulated rental units that are in existence now are continued to remain regulated rental, whether they're in the overlay or not. They need to maintain their license and have an annual inspection, but if they meet the current requirements, they would be permitted to continue as non-conforming uses. In the next section, 132702, we list out some of the provisions of what is required for student housing. One of the issues that we wanted to take a look at is the parking. So a dwelling unit is required to have two off-street parking spaces. We will require that for student homes. If there are five students within the unit, we would ask for a third, or we would require a third parking space. We would not require additional spaces if there are three or four students in the unit. Again, we clarify in here for consistency that any student home must comply with all regulated rental unit regulations. They're permitted to have a small sign at the front of the property. And if you're in the overlay, we would permit five students within the overlay. If you're in the other zoning districts, CB, CL, or IRR, we would permit up to three students within a unit. And the intent there is really to keep the student population close to the campuses, close to transit, close to walkable areas, and close to our downtowns, where the businesses have really begun to rely on the student populations. And I think that's become even more evident this past year when the students were not here. We do include some revisions to the dimensional chart in RT and RG. Those are the most dense residential zoning districts that we have. When we were working with the housing committee, one thing that came up is that in those dense residential districts, we did not have now a maximum impervious coverage. So 100% of the lot could be covered. So in RG, which is medium density residential, we propose capping of 70% impervious coverage on the lot. And in RT, which is the highest density, we're proposing capping impervious coverage at 80%. We didn't want to go too high because we don't want to create a lot of properties where they would be non-conforming, not able to put on an addition or have a shed or something. The other dimensional revision that we're proposing is that in RG, instead of the maximum height being 5 stories and 60 feet, We are proposing that it would be 3 stories and 40 feet. One of the concerns from the stakeholders that we spoke with is that we're seeing more and more property owners buying several lots and then demolishing whatever is on those lots and then building a larger mass or a larger structure, a higher structure that's really not compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. And in RT, we also propose to limit the height and the number of stories. So for a multifamily dwelling that's 2.5 stories or less, the maximum height is 2.5. If you go above 2.5 stories, the maximum height is 3.5 stories or 60 feet, or 40 feet, I'm sorry. It's, we're lowering it from 60 to 40. There are a couple other minor revisions that we added to the end of this. One is a clarification that if your property is in CL, you're not limited to the 3-story height. You would still be permitted to build up to the current height, which is 5 stories or 60 feet. And we have seen a high number, really, of zoning appeals recently in the last few years, where in the RT and RG zoning districts, there have been a lot of appeals to the zoning hearing board for an additional shed or a deck or a small addition. And in order to try to minimize those, the last provision is that if you're proposing a gazebo or a playhouse or a shed or a small addition that's 125 square feet or less, you would be able to have one addition like that without needing to go to the zoning hearing board. And that applies just for single family homes, single family detached, semi-detached, or attached dwellings. That's a quick overview of the ordinance. If you have any questions, I'll certainly answer what I can. Alicia Carner is on the call as well, and so is Mike Simons.
Thank you, Ms. Heller. I know that the administration has put a lot of time into this amendment, and it's been something that's been kicked around for a few years. And there's been a lot of public support from the neighborhood, from residents out there. Likewise, there was a little pushback from some of the property owners as well. Some of the companies that own multiple properties down there and their concerns. First, I wanted to turn to Dr. Van Wert as chair of Community and Economic Development, see if she had any questions or comments on the topic, and other members of council, if they have anything they'd like to discuss.
Thank you, President Waldron. No, I think we discussed this pretty thoroughly in committee, and I think all of, we had a couple questions and concerns, and I think they were all adequately addressed by the administration, and I'm in full support of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. One thing I did want to clarify, just to make sure that there have been no changes since what we discussed in October that you presented to us at that time.
Thank you for calling for saying that. We did make one minor change. This was reviewed when we went back to the Planning Commission. But previously, we were only proposing to allow 3 students in CB and CL as non-residential districts. And as we talked further about this, really we want to prioritize areas that are very dense, and so we also added the IRR zone, which was not in the draft that you saw back in October. That was something that came up in some discussions with different stakeholders on the south side, and we did speak with a couple of residents about that, and it does allow student housing to populate outside of the areas where we're targeting and hoping to be able to encourage single-family home ownership. So they were very supportive of adding that, but it wasn't changed since the last time you saw this.
Thank you. Any other members of council with any questions or comments to the administration? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Mr. President. Don, I want to thank you for all the work you did on this. I'm totally in favor. I actually think, and I told a lot of people that were calling me up, whether it was people who own multiple properties down there, student properties, or people that own just family housing. I think it's going to increase the property values of everybody's property down there. I think because we're restricting an area where students can go, I think that's going to, with Lehigh growing in the next few years by 1,000 students, those students are going to want to move off campus, and I think it's going to increase, the likelihood of more students wanting to move into that area, because they're only going to be allowed to move in that area. Now, they can still move into the student housing areas that are already grandfathered in, correct?
Yes, anywhere that there is regulated rental now that's licensed and inspected, they can continue as long as they maintain their license and inspection. That's true.
Right. Yeah, but any new student housing has to be in this overlay district, right?
An overlay, or you can do up to 3 students per unit in CBCL or IRR.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a great thing for anybody that's a property owner down there. I think inside that student overlay area, I think it's going to increase the amount of people that want to get in there. Competition is a good thing, and it's going to increase the property values for all those people that own it. And I think that the outside that area, I think families and other people are going to want to move in there, knowing that students are not going to be able to move in next door to them. And that's going to increase competition. I think those property owners are going to see a dramatic increase in their property values also, because I think it's going to allow people and families to go in there, know that they're not going to have Lehigh students living next to them, and they can go in and fix up their properties. And I think that's going to be a great thing for not only all the property owners down there, whether you're inside that student overlay area or outside of it, but it's also going to be a great thing for the city, because as the properties fixed up and as they get sold, hopefully it increases the property value, and that's a good thing for the taxpayers of the city also. So I'm 100% behind this. The only thing I wanted to ask is, I'm hearing a lot of discussion. Have you heard any discussion, Darlene, about a 10 to 14 story building on New and the Greenway?
There was a proposal reviewed at the Historic Conservation Commission meeting last Monday,
All right, and I'm hearing anywhere between 11 and 14 stories. Is that correct?
Well, the concept that they showed the commission was 11 and 12 stories.
All right. Are you in favor of that, or?
Well, the commission is still reviewing it. We've met with them a couple of times to talk about that. This is another one of those projects where. There's a balancing act, there's we want to attract new development to the Southside core, and then there's also the balance with historic preservation, and I think that's something that's still being reviewed and discussed.
Okay, so where is it going from here? Is the plan submitted yet for it, or no?
Well, they submitted to the Historic Conservation Commission. They had a good discussion. They gave the developer some feedback, and it will return to their meeting in February for the review.
So they haven't voted on it yet, right?
They have not.
All right. So what was submitted to that board, though? Do you know how many stories was discussed?
It was a building that the concept is 11 and 12 stories.
Okay. And how many stories is the Benner building across the street?
That's 6 stories of non-residential, so there's a different balance there. But
I know. I just wanted to. So I make sure we're all on the same page, because there was a lot of discussion about the height of the Benner building. I mean, I'm not sure it really matters whether it's residential or not. I'm all for the project that was discussed at that meeting. I think it's a great thing. I think the properties there right now are a little run down, and I think a brand new building there would be an excellent thing for the taxpayers of the city also. So I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page on this as we discuss it moving on. But I'm 100% in favor of this overlay district. So thank you. Thank you for all your hard work. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Mr. Grum?
Yes, thank you, President Waldron. I just want to say this is these changes are being way overdue, as I've been begging for the last 3 or 4 years. But I want to actually say, from the bottom of my heart, say thank you to the department, because this was truly a community development process. You really engage stakeholders and residents of the South Side. That's really important. So I know that made it go longer, you know, the process, and I know COVID complicated everything even more, but it was worth it. I thank you, everybody that was involved in the department, and for including the community to be part of this. And that makes it, you know, it makes it better for everybody. So of course I'll be supporting this. Thank you.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Thank you. I don't want to be redundant, but I just want to also thank everyone that was involved in this. It's great work, and I think that it answers the call to the community, especially at the South Side. I think it's doing great as far as promoting inclusionary, accessible, and affordable housing, and very importantly, preserving the spirit of the South Side. So thank you. Good job.
Mr. Reynolds.
Thank you. Just wanted to add to a couple of the comments that were made and comments that I made previously is that I support this as well. I think that in order for us to get the maximum value of this, and I brought this up last time, and I really appreciate the conversation that both the administration and the community has had about not just what we passed, but what do we pass that's going to work and what's going to accomplish the intended goal? Because we all have seen before when we pass things and we think it's going to accomplish the goal and it doesn't. And I think that the two things we really need to focus on going forward is, you know, how do we get as much information from Lehigh University as possible about students that are living off campus? Because as we know, like when somebody signs a lease or when somebody moves in somewhere, like, you know, bells don't necessarily go off that says this is a Lehigh student, or, you know, so it's going to be something that we're going to have to continue to work on here as far as the information that we have from Lehigh, as far as who's living off campus, maybe the information that we request from landlords, and also, you know, how are we going to, you know, kind of enforce that going forward, because it is very difficult once people are living in a property to do something about it, even if it's a violation of the zoning code. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that we just need to be smart as a city and as a community about that relationship with Lehigh and all of their information they have as far as who is living off campus, if this is going to achieve the intended results. But, you know, I do want to give everybody credit. I know there are multiple city council members here that I sat next to at some of these community meetings. I know I sat next to Ms. Heller and Ms. Carter multiple times. So I want to thank you for kind of going about this in a way that, you know, it's taken a little bit of time to do, but that's because I think everybody on all sides of the table have tried to look at this as as rational, as practical as possible. And, you know, I think that the result that we have in front of us is a reflection of that. So I want to say thank you to both the administration and the community members and the other council members that were engaged in this process throughout. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify one thing as far as students, because obviously this is tailored directly to the South Side and Lehigh University students. What is the feel or mix of other full-time students that are living there that aren't Lehigh students, whether that be Moravian or DeSales, or I guess those would probably be the only options, but there might be some other ones. And how would that be tracked if that information is not coming from Lehigh?
I don't know that we actually track which university they are attending. There were some questions earlier on about how are we going to qualify the residents? How do we know that they're student residents? And we had some language in there about it had to be enrolled in a certain number of classes. We greatly simplified the definition of a student home and that requirement to try to keep it simple for our enforcement purposes, but also to protect the students. But I don't know that we have a handle on that by the university.
Understood. Let me just add that we've met with most of the universities. Surprisingly, Penn State Lehigh Valley for a while was sending a shuttle bus to the south side to pick up students. There were so many that were living there. I think it is difficult for the universities to release numbers to us directly. And I think we'll see some change for us just on the data collection on asking them what university they go to. We aren't seeing a challenge with Moravian. We did look at the north side to be included as an overlay, and we didn't, because of the small numbers and the way that Moravian is vetting students prior to moving off the campus, we didn't have the same concentration there. So while those houses will remain that are there, we won't see a spread of five students in a home that doesn't currently exist, and certainly we'll be challenged with enforcing that we'll be tasked with enforcing that once, you know, if we do get reports on that.
Thank you. That helps. Anything else from members of council? Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Sorry, I guess one question. We may have covered it before, but as far as the regulated rentals being grandfathered in, okay, if they already exist, is there going to be any point in time, like with the sale of the property, where they will no longer be grandfathered in and that will be applicable to the new amendment?
Well, typically the way that we handle nonconformities, they run with the land rather than with the property owner. So if I have a regulated rental property right now, when I sell it, as long as it's used the same way, the nonconformity would continue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and before I turn to public comment, I'll just clarify that this is our first public hearing on this, the only one for that matter, and the amendment after this evening will go on the February 16th agenda as a first reading by City Council. So Council's not going to be taking any action on this tonight. We were just here to hear their presentation from the administration, so we won't be discussing this further in the evening or taking a vote on this evening. That first vote is set for February 16th. With that being said, I will turn to public comments specifically and only on the subject of the zoning text and map amendment to create a student overlay district. We had one person previously signed up, so I'll call that person first and then open it up to anyone else who'd like to call in. And that is Ere Donmez.
Hello.
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, fine. If you could give us your name and address for the record and then proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit, please.
Of course. Sure, my name is Eric Dunmatz. My phone number is 201-233-343, and my wife and I own several 11 total properties in the area. And just to give you a quick background, my wife's family is from the area since the 1700s. My wife, myself, and my sister are Lehigh graduates, and for the last 3 years we have been trying to build a little portfolio ourselves. And this is my full-time job. I clean clogged drains and fix broken toilet flushes myself, so I'm not some posh, investment banker doing this on the side or anything. And I want to just compliment a couple points. I wanted to point out that the current map as it is standing on the Eastern Student Housing Overlay District doesn't include some areas that are predominantly more than 90% student housing already, and that's on Hillside Avenue, including Jackson, Southridge, and Jefferson Streets and Mead Street area. And another point I wanted to make and suggest potentially changing is maybe clarifying grandfathering a little bit more, so that, you know, it's existing structure versus being able to develop the current lots to increase density, since these are, you know, already student housing. I think increasing density on these things would help, on these lots would help, as opposed to just limiting them to existing structures. And in terms of existing, increasing the density and, you know, preventing party houses, if there was more leeway for smaller units being built in these areas that are already grandfathered, as opposed to, you know, being forced to do, you know, five bedrooms which turn into party houses, you know, that would be great in two ways. One of them would be with two bedrooms, these will not be, you know, noisy, annoying party houses, as well as they will be more affordable for both families and students, because you know, a five-bedroom house, you cannot get the same amount of money that you from a family that you charge students. That's why, you know, bigger houses tend to be catered towards students. So I would recommend possibly having some leeway with that, encouraging smaller units, which would increase affordability and increase density. And in terms of grandfathering, one more thing, I think having to renew every year the conformity of grandfathering creates an issue, because that will prevent the existing landlords, such as ourselves, to not want to rent to non-students, because we will not want to lose our status. And currently, and this goes to one of the comments, we do have DeSales students, we have Penn State, Lehigh Valley students, some of whom graduate and still stay in our houses, and hence at that point are not students. But in that sense, being able to, we also have you know, one family and whatnot, I think it would help to have a little bit more leeway in terms of the grandfathering, not limiting it to existing structures, being able to develop them. And obviously, you know, non-variance requiring ways, I would very much appreciate that, both me and my wife. Those are my main comments.
Thank you for your
comments.
Thank
you for listening to me at the same time. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Take care. City Council is now accepting comments for our public hearing, specifically for this topic. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hello, Bethlehem City Council. Hello, hi.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Hey, if you can mute your YouTube feed in the background.
Yeah, it took me a moment to mute.
Thank you. And if you could give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Sure. So my name is David London. My address is 625 East Street. I'm an owner of three houses, three student houses. And my first comment will be, and actually I don't know why I registered to speak, and for some reason it was not recorded, so, and that's actually following, I'm very new to this whole discussion about the zoning changes, although we own two houses for the past 2 years, and then we just purchased another one now, and we found it like, again, like the previous owner, we are not, like, we put all our savings into buying these three houses, and we found ourselves, both, two of the houses are outside of the zone, under a lot of stress again about the grandfathering. Now, I'm an architect, this is sort of my other hat that I'm carrying. So I'm familiar a bit with like all these discussions about affordability, gentrification. I wanted to have some comments about that because one thing that I found lacking in the discussion is a bit of data, like the proposed changes, the proposed regulation say that it recognizes the importance of students to the city, yet at the same time there is a certain feeling that it goes against the grain of this sentiment, in the sense that again one side of it is limiting where they can live, but at the same time there is also a lot of limitation within the proposed zone. In my mind, again, like looking at many houses and especially the parking regulation, from my understanding reading the regulation, new houses within the zone would have to conform with the parking, with the two parking requirements at the minimum, which exclude a lot of houses that are currently non-compliant. A lot of houses, for example, on Carlton and East Fifth, don't go the full depth of the lot, and therefore they cannot give any off-street parking at the moment. With the result of those houses not being able to become student housing, but also getting their current owner not being able to cash out, not being able to sell them, because when they will be surrounded by student housing, and they are not desirable for non-student landlords, but they cannot be converted to student housing. And as a quick look, I found like many houses of that, like about 15, 20 houses, like at a quick kind of glance over the map. So this is like one thing that, again, the feeling is that it is being restricted outside, which is fine, but it is also being restricted within the zone. Rather than actually encouraging more density within the zone, there is also new restriction that will actually prevent houses from becoming student housing within the zone. Now, another point that I want to make is, again, like it was quickly actually discussed by a couple of the council members, I don't see a mention of the like real discussion of what is the real need of student housing in the area. Lehigh at the moment has 7,000 students. They propose increasing their enrollment. And at the moment, they provide about 85% of their needs. The other colleges, and again, I'm a landlord, I have two houses that are now occupied, one in construction. On the two houses, I received inquiries from Penn State, Moravia, the South, and Cedar Crest. So there is a big population of non-Lehigh students in the area. Penn State and the South just don't have anywhere close to them that their students can live off campus. So again, my calculation when we started to invest in Lehigh was that there is about a need of about 900 houses for off-campus housing. And the zone is about 450 only. So there is a concern that, again, this is as somebody who is like with my architect head, I would think that actually that will create a spillover to area like Fountain Hill and like east from Buchanan and Atlantic, where actually landlords, it would be more profitable to them to rent to two students rather to a family. So it actually might have an the opposite the opposite consequences, and which will actually create spillover into areas which are now not frequented by students, and the students actually don't want to go that far. It will actually create a situation where the shortage of housing within the zone will push them further away. In Lehigh at the moment proposed a couple of new housing, but again, at the pace that they are building them, is just too slow, and they will not kind of answer to any of the new needs that they are creating at the same time. Another thing is that the proposed housing from Lehigh is very expensive. Again, the student that I have in my E6 Street house are all coming from very low income background, and the housing that is proposed and will actually, the housing costs within the zone will probably increase. Therefore, these students, especially the low income students, will have much more difficulty to find new housing. So my feeling is, again, although there is definitely an affordability issue within the neighborhood, this is actually also, I think the students are a very visible force, and therefore they became a target, but I think there are actually a lot of other drive. Again, as somebody who looked at a lot of listings, the casino is one attracted a lot of new investors from New Jersey and New York to the area. The demographics of the Lehigh Valley, which is the only area in the old Northeast which still kind of gain population, definitely attracting investors. So I think a lot of the changes in affordability are due to also other factors. The students is one of many.
I would ask if you could wrap up your comments. We do have a 5-minute time limit, yeah, and we're coming on 9 minutes now.
My most basic point is again that there should be more an increase or like push to increase the density within the zone, and the zone probably should be actually larger, like other landlords said. Because otherwise there is actually going to be a spillover. There is such a demand, and this regulation, unfortunately, is not going to cap the demand. There is a demand of about 4,000, 5,000 students that need houses, and they will find their houses somehow. So that's kind of the main objection to this proposed regulation. And I think that's probably my time's up, so thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Thank you for your comments. City Council is accepting comment on the public hearing at hand, which is a zoning text and map amendment to create a student overlay district. The number to contact City Council for comment is 610-997-7963. Hello, Beth from City Council.
Hi, yes, I have a public comment.
Yes, if you could please give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comment with a 5-minute time limit, please.
Yes, thank you. My name is Carly Biggs Stevia, and my address is 1 West Broad Street, Suite 700, that's Bethlehem 18018. And I am an attorney at the Kingsbury Law Firm. I'm here today on behalf of my client, Asset Living. Asset Living manages over 70 properties on the south side of Bethlehem that includes approximately 350 units. Majority of its residents are college students, and it really does take great pride in providing high quality and safe housing. While our client has every intention of complying fully with the amended zoning ordinance and has been actively working with the city solicitor's office to ensure that happens, it has concerns about the practical implications of the requirement that the licensing of a specific dwelling must be operated as a regulated rental unit without lapse for any length of time, no matter how short or long, in order for the pre-existing use exception to apply. So that obviously has to do with the grandfathering and that we've been speaking about this evening. This language attempts to create a clear line where there's a lot of gray. Practically speaking, there may be instances where a property owner with every intention of operating its rental units within the confines of the law finds itself in a situation where there's a lapse in the regulated rental unit license. As a property management company with properties located in over 300 cities throughout the United States, and in accordance with its usual business practice, my client in particular entered into one-year leases with individual residents, as opposed to one single lease for all residents living together in a unit. Its leases otherwise comply in all material respects with the requirements of the city's rental unit ordinance. Our clients were notified that the zoning office did not find its individual leases acceptable and that it considered those situations to be a rooming house. It promptly began to reach out to residents and request that they sign new leases, and then soon thereafter became aware of this proposed amendment. Our client has found itself in a situation where there's no legal basis to go back to its residents and demand that they execute a new lease agreement. Some residents have agreed to sign new leases while others refuse or are non-responsive, and this has resulted in a lapse of their regulated rental unit licenses, and taking with this zoning amendment could have a detrimental impact on its business, particularly for those properties located outside of the student housing overlay district. So we just ask that consideration be given as to how this ordinance will impact existing landlords, and perhaps even consider incorporating a phase-in period for landlords who are acting in good faith to allow them time to come into compliance. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you for your comments. Have a good evening. Accepting public comment on the public hearing. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. This is Chris. I have model property Southside for student housing. I just want to make it quick. I hear a few comments from other guys, and I just have a few comments for 3 points. First, I do agree that the orange layout zone is not enough, and if you do the calculation yourself, actually, when I started my own business, I just go to the Zillow website and count how many houses are there and how many spaces off campus. Simple as that math. And I think if you do that, it has to expand into Jackson Street, Street, Southridge Street. I think it's also expand Carden Avenue into Sumner Street. Expand a little further on this side, on both sides, actually. So that's very simple. And I think, I think the city started with this map from, I think a couple of years ago, with a regular license map. I think that's not enough. I think this needs to be revisited. That's the first one. The second one would be that if the yellow zone only allowed 2 students, and if it is what it is, then going forward there's not enough space for students, and the landlords will not be able to offered to 2 students at all, because most of them are 3, 4, 5 bedrooms. The economy doesn't make sense to lease the house to 2 students only, unless the students will pay a very high premium price. So that simply doesn't make sense. That would, that's simply useless, basically. You only allow 2 in the yellow range. So that's why I say, reconsider the map itself to make it more sense, because as a landlord myself, and we deal with the students most often, we know the demand, the best. We know, where the students are the most. So that's the second point. The third point is also about grandfathering, about the gap, lapse. That I'm not quite clear as of right now, like a 1 day lapse, because most of the students are maybe, the end of lease may be in June 1st and that start in August 1st, or maybe 2 month gap. That's pretty often. So I think that needs to be clear to us so that we can, when we sign leases with students, we have to talk about this to them. So this is the third one. So I actually want to add another one, the fourth one. I want to mention this to all communities here. I think everything starts here with the students, and then the residents are complaining about the noises or the parties. And I do want to point out that this is very, very outlier for this community. And I have a lot of students that are very, very good, from very good families, that are well-educated, and they're behaving very good. I do want to make it clear that most of the students are very good. They're not making noises or smoking weed or something, marijuana, in this neighborhood. Well, if you go outside, you're going to see that a lot, okay? And also that, you know, not only students, if you're in the business, you're going to see a lot of demand, not only from the students, but also young working adults. They're coming from college, just right out of college, and they are not able to afford an apartment or two-bedroom apartment. Simple as that. So they have to share with their friends together to get, you know, pay a couple $100, you know, share and share a house. And I think this is strongly ignored, this neighborhood, about limiting, you know, those type of people, sharing people to a smaller area. But what about those people working? And they don't want to leave close to campus. They don't have to. They live on, for example, on Cherokee Street, whatever it is, right? Not in the zone. But they're young. They're making lower income. They're good people. And they want to live closer to downtown. And they want to live with their friends. They're unrelated. What happened to them? Do you want to push them out to this, you know, vibrant city? I think this is as a landlord, we're seeing a lot of demand, all of that. So not only students, right? Some of the students are subplaced in summer, but I do see a lot of demand of that, of young people fresh out of college, or, you know, maybe young from Brooklyn, New York, from Philadelphia, coming here. You know, there are a lot of Amazon warehouse over here, UPS, Walmart. There are a lot of jobs over here. I think those people are strongly ignored in this ordinance, because if this is employment, they don't have a place to live in the city. They're forced to be out. So that's all the point I'm trying to make here. So I think this ordinance will reconsider in this to, you know, to expand a little bit further and make things clear, and also consider others at the same time and pass it. I don't object to this. I think it's a bad regulation, but overall, I think we need to consider, you know, everything together before it's really implemented. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Accepting comment at 610-997-7963. For our public hearing at hand, which is a zoning text and map of the student overlay district. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, this is Brendan Ramos, and I own 417 Taylor Street, and my family owns a few other properties. Like the people were saying that were calling in before, I just have a concern about, like, you know, the lapse in time and the grandfathering. Just like they're saying, like, this past year, you know, we're grandfathering four students in, like, outside the zone, and then this year, obviously, we're having a little more trouble finding students, because with COVID and everything, people kind of rented last minute. So, you know, we had vacancies over the summer. So we just have concern with that. Something should be written a little more clearly. We were even saying you want to remodel over the summer. Is there a lapse there? Or even if you want to totally remodel a whole house, if that could take longer than a year. So I just think, the grandfather thing needs to be a little clearer, and there needs to be some, you know, something's written about, you know, because if you say you have a five-bedroom student housing and then, you know, you lapse, you know, you just lost $100,000 worth of property value, you know, because investors aren't going to want to pay nearly as much if that's, you know, getting reduced down to three. So I think that needs to be a little clear. And we have another project going where, you know, we have a four-bedroom that's going in, you know, halfway done in the CBCL zone. So I think there should even be like a phase-in period if this does happen. It's just, you know, putting a deadline on it, like right after this passes, is like, you know, there's people that are, you know, halfway done with stuff, and, you know, there's gonna be a problem there. Also harping in, like they were all saying, zoning area I think is too small, and it's, you know, there's, like you said, people coming in from DeSales that don't really need to be right next to Lehigh where they can walk to class. They need somewhere that could be a couple blocks away, but, you know, they're still getting the mix of some students living there. There might be a little more parking. So I think, I don't know, that with everything growing to, you know, Lehigh adding student housing and everything, I don't know, I think the zone could be, you know, bigger. Same with the parking requirements. Like, if there's people that are buying houses in these areas and they're just not parking, like he said, on Carlton or, you know, on 4th Street or 3rd Street, and even if they want to make a new student housing and they're limited to three, you know, the parking requirement is just, there's no parking really around. It's, you know, people are renting the places, you know, it's up to them to either rent a spot in the garage on New Street or down farther on Taylor, there's a parking lot. So I don't know what the parking requirements, yeah, that. And then my last point, I just don't even like how the overall, you're kind of just putting a line around something. It almost feels just wrong, like redlining. Like, I think it should just be kind of more of a free market. Like, if you have a good rental, you know, in the area and you're renting it to students, I think it should just not be limited. Because you have somebody that right after this passes, you know, across the street, their house could be worth $300,000, and the other side of the street, you know, 10 feet away could be worth, you know, $100,000 less or $100,000 more. So it's like a big difference there. That's really all I have to say. Then hope everything is rethought and a little clear. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Accepting additional comments on the public hearing. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, it's Mike Schoenberger. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a student housing landlord at Lehigh. I have about 20 houses. I just wanted to support some of the other comments that were made. The first comment I'd like to make is I think that the area is definitely too restrictive. It should definitely be expanded. And I have properties, take just for example, I have properties on the 600 block of Lawfer Street. I own 601, 3, 5, and 7. They've been continuously operated as student housing for 25 years. They're literally one block from the edge of campus, and they are just on the outside of that overlay district. So I have a bunch of, I don't own a property that's more than a block and a half from the edge of campus, and almost half of them are outside of the student overlay district. And some of the blocks are substantially students. The 400 and 500 block of Selford Street, the 600 block of Lawfer Street, the 600 block of Hillside Street. These are all blocks that are one and a half blocks to the edge of campus, that are walkable to campus, walkable to downtown, meet all the criteria that you discussed about why you wanted to create that district in the first place. So I think it's got to be sort of reviewed and looked at and expanded on both sides of the campus. That's my first comment. My second comment is on the new parking requirements. I think it should be clarified. There are houses that have no parking, but the city of Bethlehem permits two on-street spots per residence. So are these on-street spots, if you secure on-street spots, either the landlord or tenants secure the allowable number of spots for the property, are those going to be included in the required number of spaces? And if you secure another lot on, you know, another parking spot in the Bethlehem City lot, will that be included? I mean, you need to be able to make some reasonable accommodation on the parking. I understand the need for it, but if there's two on-street spots permitted, they should be counted. Or if the landlord, you know, buys or secures rent spots in a city lot, or if a student rents an on-campus spot, there's other parking, and those, you know, should be included in that. Also, just on the grandfathering, there needs to be some clarification and some leniency on the grandfathering. Just for example, I've got my inspection request sitting with Miriam at the housing office for like 10 months now. I'm waiting for them to come in. So, all, you know, I have inspections that have been on hold since nearly the beginning of COVID. I think I called in February or March for re-inspections and was told they weren't doing re-inspections. I've been calling every month or so requesting, you know, actually fresh inspections at this point, since it's dragged on so long, and I'm told that they're not doing inspections right now. So, I mean, there needs to be some leeway, there needs to be some notice to a landlord and an opportunity to cure. You know, I don't think it's reasonable, you know, to pull away a license for, you know, a technical infraction, or if it lapsed for a short period of time. That doesn't seem right. One other quick point I'd like to make is a landlord should be able to go back and forth between students and non-students as long as they continue to get their property inspected properly or inspected under this ordinance. They should be able to rent to other locals. And I made this point in some of the earlier landlord meetings with the zoning office, is that if you have, say, a Section 8 tenant that wants to rent your property, you're not permitted to discriminate based on form of payment. So am I supposed to discriminate against somebody because they're non-students and want to rent this property? Well, I can't rent to those people because I'm going to lose my housing license. And you know, so it like puts me in a spot where I'm going to have to discriminate or lose my license. So it's creates an issue there. So I think those are the three main points. You got to expand the area. Bethlehem in the south side is a large area. It has a large population. The students can still be close to the campus. They don't have to be immediately on top of the campus, but it should definitely be expanded. And it should, you know, the parking issue's got to be resolved, and the grandfathering issue needs to be resolved so you don't have somebody lose their rental license over a technicality. It feels like a taking in that way. So those are my comments. I appreciate your time and consideration on it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Bethlehem City Council is accepting comments for the public hearing. We're currently discussing for a zoning text and map amendment to create a student overlay district. The number to make comment is 610-997-7963. We will have another opportunity later in the evening for a public comment on other topics. This will be the last opportunity to make comment for our public hearing. Hello, Bethlehem City Council. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. I moved. My name is Ann Evans, and I live at 464 Montclair Avenue here in the city, 18015. I am calling to reiterate the importance of this ordinance. So far, the speakers who have called are all landlords of, you know, of one type or another. And I just want to state the interest of regular citizens, not students or, you know, who live in the neighborhoods that surround Lehigh University. We also have interests and rights in living in our homes. And the arguments that I've heard so far about parking and unfairness really don't apply. This ordinance really will help landlords and neighborhoods to stay in the South Side. If we expand the area even farther, more neighborhoods will go to student housing, and more people who live on the South Side and choose to live on the South Side will no longer have, you know, an interest in living in their neighborhood, which has now become all students. There's really a lack of affordable housing to be purchased in Bethlehem, and there are lots of affordable houses here on the South Side that need to preserve our neighborhoods and keep residents a place to live that they can afford. And this ordinance at this time is important. I don't know where all of these people have been for the past 2 years when there have been public meetings on this, there have been city meetings on this, and they're coming out now. But truly, the administration has worked very hard the last 2 years with residents and landlords, none of whom spoke tonight, on this ordinance, and it really is time to get it done and protect the neighborhoods of the South Side. Thank you for your time. Bye.
Have a good evening. Thank you, Ms. Evans. This will be our last opportunity for public comment on the zoning text and map amendment to create a student overlay district. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, this is Seth Moglen. I live at 726 Hillside Avenue in South Bethlehem. I want, in part, to thank all the members of council who have participated in this process over the last 2.5 years. I want to thank Alicia Carner and Arlene Heller and their staff for all their hard work on this ordinance. You all have heard from me before. I don't want to repeat all the arguments you have heard. What I want simply to remind members of council is that you have already received letters from over 150 residents and homeowners on the South Side supporting this ordinance. And I want to speak in support of what Ann Evans just said. And in particular, I want very strongly to advise members of council not to expand the student overlay district in any way. The arguments of the landlords from whom you've heard tonight are evidence of exactly why we need to leave the boundaries of the ordinance as they are currently set. The landlords tonight are saying, but wait, there's more and more student housing in these neighborhoods. We should expand the district to include them. All of those landlords are talking about neighborhoods in which ordinary people, mixed income people, are living and trying desperately to hold on to their neighborhoods in the face of an onslaught of student housing, which is undermining these neighborhoods as viable, long-term, mixed income, racially diverse neighborhoods. In other words, the arguments you've heard tonight about why you should expand the district are precisely the arguments why you need to leave the overlay district as it is currently set if you want to maintain the health of these neighborhoods and to respect the interests of all of the ordinary Southside residents who have been living in these neighborhoods in some cases for generations. I want to thank all of you for the hard work, for the inclusiveness with which this process has proceeded. The ordinance reflects a genuine compromise, and it reflects a serious attempt to protect the integrity and the health of our neighborhoods. I strongly discourage council from encouraging any alterations in the map of the overlay district, which were very, very carefully considered by the Office of Zoning and Planning. And I want to thank you all for your efforts and for listening to these comments tonight. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on the zoning text and map amendment to create a student overlay district? Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, hi. My name is John Mervon. I live at 426 First Terrace. And I have spoken before on this. I just would like to thank City Council and members of the Zoning Committee for all the hard work they have put into this already. And it's definitely something our neighborhood needs to stay, you know, a viable community-type neighborhood. And it needs to, the overlays need to stay as proposed, because all these landlords are trying to do is just encroach more and more on our areas and drive families out. They're interested in pure profit, no matter what they tell you. Students, as you know, no matter how much these landlords tell you how wonderful they are, I have nothing against students, but the parties, the public drunkenness, the public urination, that destroys a neighborhood. We have a family up here with young kids living right next to a rental that have to experience this almost every year, several times. And I also just would like to say that there are plenty of people who would love to live in this neighborhood. I've had people walking by here this past summer, a young family, asking if there were any properties around here for sale at a reasonable price. I've also had this whole, our whole street has gotten a typed letter placed in their mailboxes asking if they would like to sell. It's another young family looking for, you know, property to buy and raise their three young children. So again, I would just like to thank City Council and hope that this ordinance goes through as written. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Rue.
Okay, and again, my family's been here since the 1800s, so that should speak for itself, as many other families up here have. Okay, again, thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
City Council is accepting comment on the zoning text and map amendment to create a student overlay district. If you'd like to make a comment, the number to do so is 610-997-7963. This will be our last opportunity for the public hearing. In a short time, we will have public comment on other subjects. If anyone would like to make comment on another subject. Seeing no more comments on that.
President Waldron, can I ask a quick question?
Sure, Mr. Callahan.
If members of council have any comments that were to address some of the comments that were made just now, should we wait till new business, or is now the time to do that if we want a public hearing?
I think now is a fine time to do it.
All right. If there's not any, I mean, if there's more callers, I'll wait.
No, I've stopped calls, so that was our last call for public comments, so I was about to move on to the agenda. And
right. I guess my only concern is, Ms. Howard, so anybody that's inside of the overlay district right now, the callers that were calling up and had concerns about the city playing gotcha, they're no one. If for any reason there's some type of delay in them signing leases, if they're inside the overlay area, they have no worries about that. Correct.
Correct.
The only ones that have to worry about that are outside the overlay area.
Well, our language is pretty specific. There were three concerns, I think, from the public that we addressed as we made revisions. One was related to the non-conforming requirement. They felt that it was a little unclear, a little confusing. So we tried to be as simple and direct with the language as we could. We're not trying to do any kind of a gotcha or anything like that. That's not the intention. I can read it for you if you want to. It's pretty specific.
Got it, please.
New regulated rental units or student homes will only be allowed in the student housing overlay district. Pre-existing regulated rental uses, regardless whether they fall in the student housing overlay district or not, shall continue to have non-conforming use status so long as they maintain a current license and successfully passed an annual inspection. That's pretty simple. So even if they want to rent to a family for a year or whatever, you know, if they get the license and pay the fee and have an inspection, which is really a pretty simple process, there is no issue.
For the people that are outside the overlay district.
Correct.
So the individual that had brought up the scenario, I guess it was a hypothetical, that if a Section 8 housing person came, I don't want to have put him in jeopardy of being sued for violating Section 8 laws or housing laws. But so if he would rent it out to a Section 8 family, he then could, when they're out, he then could go back to a student housing. Is that correct or no?
All we're asking is that they maintain a license and an inspection. That's all that we're asking. It's a pretty low bar, really. It's not a high fee. The inspection is basic building code. That's all that we're asking. Those are safety issues and things like that. So we're not really interested in trying to trip someone up. I think right. that we are understanding that there is a need for student housing in South Bethlehem, and there's always going to be student housing in South Bethlehem. This is an ordinance amendment that's really directed at being proactive about where future student housing is located.
I wasn't following exactly the questioning from the lawyer from King Spry about her suggestion, I guess, was a phase-in period, and asking if we could modify the grandfathering of the houses outside of it. What her concern was what? That a leasee, a student leasee in a current grandfathered house, didn't sign the lease in enough time, and because of that, it would expire and they would lose their ability to sell or rent to student houses.
I don't know anything about her specific circumstance. I mean, maybe Mike does. Currently, what I could hear from it was, she seemed to be concerned about the requirement that we have one lease for the property. There's one lease, and the student names are all on one lease. And she seemed to, from what I understood, she seemed to have a concern with that. But that's the way we've been operating regulated rental for over 20 years. I don't really think it's been an issue. She may be unfamiliar with the ordinance that's been in place for so long, but for the landlords that have been complying, it's really not been an issue.
So if they're outside of the student overlay district and there's a delay in a lease signing or whatever, or I think the one caller even talked about if they were doing a complete renovation to the property, as long as they're maintaining that license, as you said earlier, they won't lose their grandfather status on that property for student housing.
Well, there are provisions in zoning for non-conforming, and if their intention is to update the house so that they continue to do student housing in the future, they're still doing student housing. It really doesn't trip them up at all.
That's all I didn't want anybody, any homeowners that are currently own a property being harmed if there was some type of delay in a lease or something like that. As long as you're saying it's up to the property owner to maintain the license, and as long as they're doing that, we won't really have any issues with them losing their grandfather status.
Maintaining their license means that we get in there annually to do a basic inspection, and we have the paperwork. We know who the students are.
Well, thank you. That's basically it. Listen, I understand. The other thing was too is if a landlord on the parking issue, if the landlord put in his lease and provides to the city a purchased two, like a spot, a parking spot, or two spots, or three spots, would that meet the requirement for the parking if the landlord included it in the lease and showed the city the monthly lease contract from the Bethlehem Parking Authority? Would that cover their parking issue?
We do have provisions now in the zoning ordinance. We try to be flexible with parking because there are properties that have no alley access or no availability on their lot. So we do have provisions for shared parking, off-site parking, things like that. And in the ordinance, in the parking line item, we do refer people to section 1319.02G, which may allow off-site parking. And it's a direct acknowledgement that there are other ways that people can meet the parking requirement.
So if the landlord chose to include that, he is allowed to have a student housing in the overlay district, provided he's providing parking. I mean, you know, the thing is, too, and I understand the parking situation is really bad over in the South, and it's probably going to be getting worse in the years to come, especially if we don't do the Polk Street garage with all the development that's going over there. The one thing I do want to say is that most students in college don't have cars on, you know, with them at college. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is. I mean, you know, but I'd say an overwhelming majority of students that go to Lehigh probably do not have cars with them at college. You know, I think, you know, it's a very walkable campus, which we all want. And we all want and welcome all the Lehigh students, you know, to go to the businesses on the South Side and contribute to the economy of the South Side. I think it's a great thing. So, my only advice is, and you know, I know we had callers on both sides of the you know, the coin tonight, and the only thing I can say is I think it's going to be a great thing for all the property owners down here. I think because it's a student overlay, it'll be a limited area, it's going to increase demand, and whenever there's demand, yeah, that increases value. And it's going to increase if students want to, if you own a property, a student housing in the overlay district, because of the demand is being increased, that's going to increase the rental of your property, which then increases the property value of your property. If you're outside of the student overlay district, which I think is going to be a good thing, and we want families in there, as one caller, just said, if I had my family and my kids there, I wouldn't want to see a college kid living around me and urinating. I feel his pain too. Again, if people outside the overlay district own properties, I promise you, your property value is going to go up because people are looking for affordable housing. And that's probably the greatest area of affordable housing in the city of Bethlehem. And I think that's going to only increase because now people are going to know, hey, I can move here, bring my kids in here, raise my family here, and I don't have to have the worry of having Lehigh students, you know, next door to me throwing parties at all hours at night and urinating and vomiting or whatever. I mean, kids are kids, but I think that I think the fact that no more student housing is going to be allowed outside the overlay area is going to be a great thing, and I think that's going to increase your property values also. So my advice to everybody is hang on to your properties. I think you're going to be seeing some nice properties in the years to come. So thank you. And again, I want to thank Darlene and everybody else that worked on this. I think it's going to be a great thing for everybody. Thank you.
Okay. What is happening here? Sorry, I've been having some trouble with my computer this evening. The zoning amendment will be on the February 16th, 2021 council agenda for first reading. Thank you. The public hearing is adjourned. We'll now continue on with the rest of our agenda this evening. Seeking approval of the minutes for December 1st, 2020. If there are no comments from members of council, the minutes will stand approved.
Moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. We have four names previously signed up, so I'll call up those people in order and then open it up to anyone else who'd like to make comment. The first on our list is Yasiel Rodriguez.
Hello.
Hello, this is Bethlehem City Council.
Yeah, hold on, I'm here. Hello.
Good evening, Yasiel. How are you?
Good.
Great. I hear you want to read a letter to us tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Please go ahead and do that.
Okay. We need... My name is Yasiel Rodriguez, and I'm a fourth grader at Freemansburg Elementary School. I live at 1931 Midfield Drive, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And you need to help our SWIFTs because our SWIFTs help us in our chimneys. So we need you to make a sign and write SOS. It stands for Save Our SWIFTs. And build more chimneys for them because they're losing their homes.
Thank you, Yasiel.
You're welcome.
We appreciate your letter. Have a good night.
You too.
And I should clarify, folks at home, there's a push from the fourth grade class at Freemansburg Elementary School to make the chimney swift the official bird of Bethlehem. So we are considering a resolution that this evening to do that, but we have a couple other callers who would like to make some comments to council before we do that. And next is Emma Hertes.
Hello?
Hello, Emma. This is Bethlehem City Council calling.
Hello. I would like to read a letter.
Okay.
Dear Mayor Johnson, member of the City Council, my name is Emma Fuentes and I am a fourth grader at Freemansburg Elementary School. I would like to ask you to name the chimney swift about the Bethlehem, and here's why. They are insectivores, so they only eat insects like flies, ladybugs, and other insects. They even eat mosquitoes, at least eat 2,000 insects in one day. So the 2,200 swifts that live in the Masonic Temple chimney altogether eat 4,400,000 insects in one day. Isn't that cool? Yeah, but that's not all. Keep reading. Swifts have been in our city's history since the 1800s. Many swifts may not have a whole lot of color, but the way they move to go into a chimney is beautiful. I feel like when the chimney swift is flying, it is like a princess is dancing in a ballroom because it is super dainty and elegant. Mayor, member of the city council, please listen to this letter and hear why these birds are so important to us. The reason is that to us they are not just birds, they are like people. If these birds were people, you would make sure they have a home. So please give these birds a home and make them the chimney swift. And make the chimney swift the bird of Bethlehem, please. Until yours, Emma Fuentes.
Thank you, Emma. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening.
You're welcome. It was our pleasure. Good night. Next, I'll be calling Ryan.
Hello.
looking for Ryan. This is Bethlehem City Council calling.
Yeah, let me go.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing tonight? I hear you want to hear, you want to read a letter about the chimney swifts? Chimney swifts?
Wait, can you wait a second? Because I was about to not even do it. But they called just in time.
Would you like me to call you back?
No, wait, where is it? Let me close the home. It has grass in front of us.
Okay, I can give you a call back in a little bit. Yes, we can. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay. Dear Mayor John Gish and members of Bethlehem City Council, hi, my name is Ryan Giraldo de Oliveira Benfica, and I am a fourth grader at Greensburg Elementary School. I want you to name the chimney swift the bird of Bethlehem. These are the reasons that you should name the chimney swift the bird of Bethlehem. Swifts are insectivores. They help because bugs are annoying. Each bird eats 2,000 insects per day. Do the math. 2,200 swifts in one chimney times 2,000 insects per day equals 4,400,000 insects per day per chimney. Swifts are part of our city history and have been living here for a long time. They are part of our family, so we should be nice to them. The swifts move in a pattern like a tornado. I like to watch them go into the chimney. It's really cool. We should be grateful to them for working for making a beautiful sight for us to see. So please name the chimney swift the bird of Bethlehem so that we can take care of them. Sincerely, Ryan Giraldo de Oliveira Benfica.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a good night. Our last caller who previously signed up is Art Talajan.
I think we got a new city bird coming.
This is Bethlehem City Council calling.
Hi there. Yes.
Hello. If you could give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to council with a 5-minute time limit, please.
Oh, yeah. My name is Arthur Talagin, and you said address, correct?
If you would, please.
I'm at 1007 Main Street, Bethlehem. Basically, I don't know if I can sum everything up in 5 minutes. I don't know if somebody can contact me after this, because there's a lot going on. Basically, I'm frustrated and I'm kind of aggravated due to the situation that goes on between me and my neighbors. My neighbors, basically, them and also their dogs, which I've been to the council before on, and nothing seems to ever get taken care of. And also the neighbors happen to be bullies and threaten and things of this nature. A few months back, there was an incident where their dogs were carrying on. I actually went outside to the porch of the home where they were at and asked them if they would please keep the dogs down. To which the neighbor replied to me, why don't you shut your effing mouth before I come over there and kick your, you know what? Well, I, as any person, would take that as a threat. And my girlfriend called the police. When the police arrived, and I told them, you know, they asked why I called. I said, well, he had threatened me. And when I told the officer what he had said, basically the officer kind of shrugged it off and said, that's not a threat. Well, I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm also not an idiot. And yes, that is a threat. So why that was downplayed, I don't know. I then said something out of, basically sarcastically, to try to prove a point. And I was cited, and my neighbor was not. So basically, I'm facing criminal charges now. I was not even cited that evening. I actually received charges in the mail about 10 days after the fact. I'm facing jail time, basically because I said a comment sarcastically. In the report, what I said was actually taken out of context, and everything is just a huge fiasco. I've been threatened before by my neighbor. He actually threatened me. He was on the sidewalk a few years ago. I was on my porch, he threatened me, entered my home, chased in the home after me, smashed a window in my door with his bare fist, once again was not charged for the incident. However, I was. He said I made him do it, which that is absolutely, unbelievably ridiculous. So why this is going on, I don't know. Why I'm being charged, why I'm facing criminal charges, I don't know, over a sarcastic comment. I just don't understand. And it's almost as if like I'm being kind of railroaded here. And like I said, this is something, you know, it's an ongoing thing with them, with my neighbors. Their dogs, it actually sounds like they're operating a kennel. They like all day today, it was nonstop barking. And I don't know if they have two. I know they have more than one dog, but I don't know if it's two or three. Okay. The officer asked me that evening, why didn't I call when the dogs were barking? Why? Because they never do anything to them. Okay, the police never cite them. They were cited once, and the charges were dropped basically due to the fact that the officer heard the dogs and didn't physically see them. Come on, this is all ridiculous. I mean, like I said, there's a lot more to this whole situation, and I'm a little scared here because I have a hearing coming up in March, whereas, like I said, I'm facing criminal charges. Apart from that, background on myself, I'm 50 years old. I have second stage COPD. I have severe asthma. Okay. Chronic and severe sinusitis. And I don't need this on my plate. I've recently lost my job because I couldn't work because I'm high risk for COVID. So I've lost my job, I've lost my health benefits, and now I have this on my plate. And it makes me wonder, I mean, who do I call when I'm in trouble? Who do I call when I'm being threatened and bullied and harassed? Who do I call? I can't say a word. I cannot reach out to my local police department because I'm getting cited. They have annoying dogs. They bully me. They harass me. They threaten me. And I'm the one getting cited. So, I mean, what is wrong with this picture?
Thank you for your comments this evening, Mr. Talgen. I can imagine it's a frustrating position to be in and a challenging one, too. I would say there's little that council can do for you this evening. I know that the police chief heard your comments this evening and she might be able to follow up and give you some guidance, but I would say that now your next step would be to tell your story to the magistrate and hopefully things can get
clear. I was before the magistrate.
I understand.
I was before the magistrate and now it's going on to county.
I'm sorry, Mr. Talgen. There's really little that council can do for you this evening. We have
right. Can the chief reach out to me?
I can ask her to do that. She has we have your contact information, so that would be up to her if she or anyone up from the department would want to reach out to see if, to get some clarification on the issue specifically and try to get something that would satisfy all parties.
I mean, I kind of feel as if, like, my rights were violated because I don't know who to turn to. I cannot pick up the phone and call my local police and have them call if I'm being threatened. That's kind of clear. I can't call if their dogs are annoying, which is a violation of the city code. Who do I turn to? Who is here to help me?
I can understand the frustration. We'll pass your information.
I mean, in all due respect, and I don't mean to cut you off, I don't think you can understand the frustration because I'm going through it. You're not. So, I mean, I mean that in all due respect. I mean, this is a day-to-day thing. This goes on every single day in my life, and I have nobody to turn to, nobody. So I don't think that you can relate to my frustration. I mean, I live in a row home. It literally, like I told you, I have recordings on my phone of me standing in my living room, standing in my kitchen, and you can hear the dogs over the recording on my phone. So if I'm able to record it on my phone, they've got to be pretty loud. Wouldn't you think?
Yes, sir. I would say that your next recourse would be either with the magistrate or the judge, but I will pass your information to the police chief, and she might be able to reach out to you and give you some...
Well, I hope somebody can help me on this matter, because like I said, it's... With everything that's on my plate as far as my health, my well-being. I mean, this is just something added onto my plate, and I'm nervous. I mean, I'm you know.
Well, I understand that, sir. And at this point, we're 10 minutes into this call, and we do have a 5-minute time limit.
I apologize.
I have to give other callers an opportunity this evening.
Well, I do apologize, and hopefully I will hear back from somebody can help me.
All right.
And like I said, it does go further than all of this.
Have a good evening, sir. Take care. That was the last of the names who had signed up previously to speak. If anyone else would like to make comment to council on any subject not being voted on this evening, the number to do so is 610-997-7963. Make comment to council this evening on any subject not being voted on, as well as any item on our agenda to be voted on, now is the time to call. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Hi, my name is Natasha Shope. I live at 3156 Wilson Avenue, and my son would like to speak to you on behalf of the chimney sweep.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Cole Shope. I am a fourth grader at Simmonsburg Elementary School. And I want to ask you if you can make the chimney swift, the bird of Bethlehem. Chimney swifts have lived in Bethlehem for about 100 years. They are in danger because of habitat loss. Chimneys are collapsing and being capped. The swift's feet can grip onto tree branches, so when chimneys are gone, they can't rest in trees, and they keep flying until they die. Chimney swifts are beautiful when they fly into the chimney. They are fascinating birds, and they need help. Thank you for protecting the swifts by making the chimney swift the bird of Bethlehem and building new chimney swift towers. Sincerely, Cole Shope.
Thank you for your comments, Cole. Have a good evening.
Yeah. You too.
City Council is accepting comments on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on, as well as any additional topic. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. This will be the last opportunity for public comment this evening to City Council on any subject to be voted on, as well as any additional topics. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. Continuing with our agenda, communication 6C.
A memorandum from Alicia Miller-Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending a contract with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce for Marketing Services. The contract runs through December 31st, 2021. The cost is $75,000. There is a potential annual renewal.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Heim Construction Company, Inc. for construction of pedestrian improvements as part of the South Bethlehem Corridor Connections project. The anticipated completion date is August 20th, 2021, and the cost is $399,059. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from William P. Leeson, City Solicitor, requesting Council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the Legal Bureau. The Solicitor has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within categories where destruction is permitted.
The resolution will be placed on the February 16th agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Olga, Councilwoman Olga Negron, with an attached proposed resolution designating the chimney swift as the official bird of Bethlehem. Councilwoman Negron proposed the resolution in recognition of the special role that the chimney swift plays in our city.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Police Chief Michelle Cott with an attached proposed resolution authorizing the department to retire Hicks, one of the city's police dogs, due to severe arthritis. The department is requesting authorization to retire Hicks to Patriot Canine Rescue so he can live out the rest of his life in a happy and loving environment. If Hicks is deemed safe for adoption, the rescue organization will find a suitable family with an adequate property and able to care for him and his special needs. If he's unable to be adopted, the rescue organization will care for him. The resolution also recognizes his more than 5 years of service protecting the city and its residents.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Reports. We have three councilmanic appointments this evening. 7A1.
I, Adam Waldron, do hereby appoint Rachel Leon to membership of the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board to fill the vacant seat of Sharon Yoshida. The appointment is effective until January 2022. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk would please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith. Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 7-8-2.
I, Adam Waldron, do hereby appoint Ann Felker to membership of the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. This reappointment is effective until January 2024. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. I raised my hands in the previous appointment, and I guess you didn't see me, but so I just want to say a few words about Rachel Leon. She, as a young woman born and raised in the south side of Bethlehem, she served the U.S. Navy, and she did incredible work while abroad, putting together a library among the community that she was stationed at. Beautiful story. I am looking forward to sit next to her at the library board. She is a dynamic, incredible woman, mother of a young child as well. So I just wanted to say that, and thank you everybody for supporting Rachel Leon's appointment. Now we have Ann Felker, and president of the board right now, and she has done fabulous work, and of course I will continue supporting her leadership and her board membership.
Thank you, Ms. Negron. Clerk, would please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 7-8-3.
I, Adam Waldron, do hereby reappoint Emil Cygnus to membership on the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. This reappointment is effective until January 2024. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? The clerk would please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
reports from the mayor this evening?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a few items here. Administrative order number 3, I hereby appoint Lucienne DiBiase Dooley, principal architect of Artifacts 2628 East 3rd Street, Bethlehem, to the Code Board of Appeal, effective December 2023.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Walder.
Discussion? Clerk, would please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative order number 4, I hereby reappoint Luke Cunningham, 576 Angela Drive, Bethlehem, PA, to the Civil Service Board, appointment effective through October 2024.
The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. A couple of updates. City of Bethlehem COVID cases. As of yesterday, 5,900 cases in the city of Bethlehem. As of yesterday, 96 deaths. Total number vaccinated by the Bethlehem Health Bureau, 7,056. I'm going to read a statement here from Ms. Renbridge, but I really want to first thank President Grigsby for allowing us to use Marie Mead College for a few weeks, and Dr. Ward for allowing us to use Northeast Middle School, and also now to Wind Creek, where we will be for the next few months. And since the cancellation of the vaccination was for today, we will have a double session on Thursday. Everyone will be notified. We're trying to prioritize the vaccine for our residents. The Department of Health has stated that we cannot refuse anyone based on residency because the vaccine is for the federal government, but we are allowed to refer those who have a health department back to their respective health departments. We are in a process of canceling these appointments for upcoming clinics. Right now, we are getting less vaccines supplied from the state. If we start to get the amount requested, will we begin scheduling those on the wait list into the canceled appointment slots? Ms. Wenrich is concerned about the low number of Hispanics that are getting vaccinated, about 5%. She has a meeting with United Way this week to discuss the vaccination marketing and outreach efforts to certain populations. She's also going to reach out to the Hispanic Center to see how we can partner with them. I do think part of the reason for these low numbers was attributed to the fact that we had all the people from Bucks County, Montgomery, and Chester County trying to come to our clinics the last 2 weeks, and that was an issue in itself. But again, I want to thank President Grigsby, Wind Creek, and Dr. Ward for their generosity in allowing us to use their facilities. And as I said, since we canceled today, we will have a double session on Thursday beginning over at Wind Creek for the next few months in the event center. The recycling center on Ellis Mill Road will be closed Wednesday and Thursday this week. And the city is still in a snow emergency, probably for the next few days. I think Mike Alco might be on. He can make some comments after my comments if you would like. I know we had a record snowstorm, 28 to 30 inches, with possibly another one coming on Sunday. We did declare the snow emergency, and now we're going to shift into snow removal in the downtown. I know Mr. Alco, Mr. Evans, we're working on contractors to use their dump trucks as we use one of our new pieces of equipment for snow removal. And I think considering everything, 28 to 30 inches, 250 miles of roads, 12-hour shifts when we declare a snow emergency, 40 pieces of apparatus out removing snow, for the most part, I think the citizens have been very understanding, and I certainly appreciate it, as does Mr. Alcohol. The guys have done an excellent job. and Mike always does an excellent job. And now we'll start. I believe that every street, side street, and alley has been open at least once. They're going to continue around the clock to expand the opening, and then we'll start removing snow. So probably the next couple more days yet, we'll have a snow emergency. And I don't know if Mike wants to make any other additional comments, but that would be my report, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Donches. Mr. Alcohol, you're looking well.
Thank you, Mr. Walden. You know, the mayor said we had obviously a very substantial, significant storm. I think it's going to go down as the second largest on record. These storms do pose the tremendous challenges for an urban area like the city of Bethlehem. Primarily, the challenges lie in some of the dense neighborhoods, small streets with cars parked on both sides. A key to a storm of this magnitude and this amount of snowfall is to plow as efficiently and quickly as we can around the clock, so we're not going through some of the smaller streets for the first time after all the snow has fallen. It also fell over a long period of time, which also poses some challenges. Despite our best effort, there are some areas, again, these small areas that even though we pass through them once, sometimes more than once, given the rate of snow in the last 8 hours of the event, they still had so much snow on them, and the type of snow, the wet snow, when we went to push them, gets packed very easily, which makes it very difficult for the smaller apparatus that is necessary for those tight areas to get through there. So that wasn't going to work. And a larger piece of equipment that can get through there is too large to access those areas. So for those types of streets, we have to use other equipment like skid steers, front end loaders, backhoes, which is a lot slower process to open those streets. But the vast majority of streets, all the mains, all the secondaries, let's really think about it. Any streets that's fairly wide, that isn't parked in, has been done repeatedly, is in reasonably good condition. The city is very passable throughout. You can get around fairly easily. Like I said, the biggest challenge is if you happen to be on a side street, small street, an alley that we're still getting to at this hour because of what I just described. We also immediately went to snow removing starting on 4th Street. We're hoping to go through that very quickly. And only for that, all the plowing, all the work around the clock has been in-house. The only thing we have called on some help, as the mayor said, is some trucking and some front-end loaders for the snow removal in the downtown business areas in order to do it as quickly as we can while still reserving and keeping our contingency on the slower work that's still ongoing and that opening alleys, opening those that could not be opened because of the conditions that I've said. Overall, the city is in good shape considering what we've had. I can assure you it's in really, really good shape compared to other communities that have experienced the same thing in the valley. And we're going to continue to work around the clock with the snow removal because what's forecasted in the next 5 days anyway is real cold weather, so Mother Nature doesn't look like it's going to help us much. So, you know, there'll be areas that need for us to remove snow. And then after that, as we continue to dig out, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of frustration for the residents to be anticipated. When we plow, we have to make multiple passes sometimes, even though we've directed, given how much snow we've had, we've directed our crews not to, we generally encourage them to push all the way to the curbs, but for 2 feet of snow, that would pile the snow way too high. We'd repeatedly be shutting driveways as we continue to clean and widen streets and improve them. So we're going to make them passable and down the asphalt for lanes in each direction, but not all the way to the curb in some of those key areas. That's not a problem at all. In areas where off-street parking is not critical, and they tend to be neighborhood areas. That's basically where we are. We'll probably keep the snow emergency as long as we can, because that will assist in the snow removal efforts downtown, because those roads are snow emergency routes. And since they are, whatever side the snow emergency is in effect, we don't have to post it. We can go, and there wouldn't be any cars we wouldn't end up towing people in order to remove stuff. At some point, we may have to lift it, in which case we would start posting. By then, we would probably take over with our in-house crew. So it'll be somewhat of a costly event to clean up. We've had a bunch of breaks the last year or so. So I guess it's only fair that we have to deal with this monster. And that's my report, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Opal. I know you guys are doing the best you can, and it's never quite good enough for every single portion of the city from their perspective, because they're looking at their one little street that's in front of their house or behind their garage. They're not looking at that 250 miles that needs to be done. And I know the crews are out there working hard, and people will just have to be patient. So thank you to you and your crew for the work they're putting in.
Thank you, Councilor.
Any other business this evening from the administration? I'll turn to Mr. Reynolds.
Yes, I have the Finance Committee report, but I just want to just say to Mr. Alcohol that I think that everybody, and you did a pretty good job of summing up just some of the challenges. I know I was out shoveling, and I think we all have the same experience where, you know, you go out and shovel for a couple hours, then you go back inside for an hour, and you come back, and there'd be the same amount of snow that happened beforehand. And, you know, I was out there today, and I walked down to a couple of neighborhoods around me to have a couple of people shovel, and I saw a bunch of the city trucks out there, and I felt for them in a lot of ways, because we don't buy, as you said, we don't usually buy trucks to deal with 30 inches of snow. So, I mean, and there's only so many places that we can put the snow, and I watched them do the best they could to try to find places to put the snow, and I think that the neighbors understood that, and I know a lot of those guys that were out there had been out there for several hours. And I think that, you know, it was obviously a difficult situation for everybody. I know, as you said, I always appreciate the fact that you don't say things are perfect and there's areas that need a little bit of improvement. But I think overall, you know, when I was watching them work and, you know, in a couple different neighborhoods I just happened to see them at, I was impressed, because I know they had been out there for a long time and they were trying to do the best they could, and they went back and they did a couple extra passes, because, you know, they realized they hadn't gotten everything, and, you know, they didn't know when they were going to be back. And I just think that, you know, I think you deserve a lot of credit, but I also think that your employees deserve a lot of credit, because, you know, the ones that I saw, I thought really were doing the best they could with just a structural difficult situation. They were dealing with trucks that, you know, usually deal with great for 95% of snowstorms. We just happened to get, as you said, you know, a you know, the second worst one we've ever gotten. So I did want to say that to you and your employees.
Thank you, Mr. Rowley. Yeah, and if I didn't mention it, we do have a great crews. We deploy 40 units around the clock, 12-hour shifts. So they are long hours, and they really do stick with it until we get through and clean and dig ourselves out.
Thank you. The Finance Committee met on Tuesday, January 26th at 6 p.m. The committee discussed and voted on four agenda items: amending the general fund related to several adjustments, amending the golf fund 2020 year-end adjustments, amending the liquid fuels fund 2020 year-end adjustments, and amending the non-utility capital improvements fund 2020 year-end adjustments. Committee votes were taken on each of the four agenda items. The committee voted to recommend placement of appropriate bills on tonight's council meeting agenda for each agenda item. The four bills are on tonight's agenda for first reading. Thank you, President Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. We will continue on here with ordinances for final passage. We have one this evening, ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the zoning ordinance in sections 1305 and 1306 to amend provisions for commercial uses on the first floor in CB and CL zoning districts. Bill 1, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith? Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Thank you. Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New ordinances, ordinance 9A.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 1501 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, titled Fire, Safety, and Code Enforcement Inspection Fees. Bill 2, 2021, is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Wald.
Discussion? I see we have Deputy Chief Bear with us. I'm not sure there's anything additional that you would like to add. We did discuss this 2 weeks ago, and nothing has changed. So, is there any other discussion from members of council? Seeing none, the clerk could please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
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 Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2021 General Fund Budget. Bill 3, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9C.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Golf Course Enterprise Fund Budget for 2021. Bill 4, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2021 Liquid Fuels Fund Budget. Bill 5, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 90.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2021 Capital Budget for Non-Utilities. Bill 6, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert? Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolutions, Resolution 10A.
Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposition of Department of Water and Sewer Resources records. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce for Marketing Services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Rouse.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Heim Construction Company, Inc. for construction of pedestrian improvements as part of the South Bethlehem Corridor Connections Project. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. That's a 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Now therefore be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that in recognition of the special value of this bird species to our city, the chimney swift is hereby designated the official bird of the City of Bethlehem. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Ms. Negron?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So I just want to say thank you, first of all, to Jeremy Gilbert. She has led this effort, along with many other members of our community. A few have reached out to me, asking me what we need to do. And I thank Robert Bidoni. Mr. Robert has been patient with me, as I'm not quite sure sometimes what's the right question for me to ask. But we've been going back and forth with this, and he was very helpful. But Janine Guggen really did a lot of work and research and helped make this happen. So I think that organizing the students, writing letters, I think that a good group of students from our community got a good sense and touch of city government, leadership, even mathematics and science, and who knows what else was in there. It was beautiful to hear. Thank you, everybody that called and in support. And I hope that members of council approve this naming of the chimney swifts, the birds of Bethlehem. I think that there's a lot of potential for us to use it in many different ways, but more than anything, to save the chimney swifts.
Mr. Reynolds?
I would just second what Councilman Negron said and thank her for all of her work in putting that together with Mr. Bidoni. And I want to thank especially the students that called in today who were all fantastic. And I know it's something that a lot of people have put work into. I think it's going to be a good thing for us to do tonight. Thank you.
Dr. Van Wert?
I just would like to echo what Councilman Negron and Reynolds have said tonight. Additionally, I'd like to speak directly to the students who called in. If you're still listening, praise you. And also, please don't ever stop calling your government and telling us what you think. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Mr. Vaughn?
Thank you, President Waldron. Just briefly, I heard of chimney swifts last summer, unrelated to this, previous to the recent news, when I was walking in a municipal park. I don't even remember where I was. It could have been, I don't think it was Bethlehem, but there was a structure that was a chimney that was built specifically for chimney swifts to roost. So any of our other local students that are looking for potential Eagle Scout projects, I think that something like that, I'm not an ornithologist, but I think that would help create other habitats for them to roost. That would be a low maintenance addition to any of our local parks and could have even an education piece potentially about what we're doing tonight and value of chimney swifts to the area. So that's again something I saw in another public park space, but one of these faux chimneys that I think potentially if someone reached out to the city for an Eagle Scout project or something like that could be something to build upon this, and as we continue to educate the public of the value of the chimney swift. Thank you.
Thank you all. The clerk would please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
I'm sorry. Mr. Callahan.
Aye. Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank the kids also for calling in. I think it's a great thing that you're involved with your city. And I know a few of you have kids that also go to Northeast Middle School. And I know a few of them there, and they were supporting it also. So I just want to thank you for, again, calling into the city and being involved as Dr. Van Wert said. Thank you.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
I'll just say before we vote, yes, I want to thank you to all the children who called in tonight. That was wonderful. It'd be pretty hard to vote against anything that they call in for. And also, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Novo, I believe, who was the developer or the owner of Masonic Temple, who was willing to preserve the chimney so that the chimney swifts have their natural habitat. And I think that's really noble of Mr. Novo as a developer to do that. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gramsci Smith. I have no problem saying no to children, so unfortunately, I'm kidding. The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci
Smith. Yours are still young. Mr. Waldron, when they get older, then it's hard to say no to the young ones. Aye.
Ms. DeGrone.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. That's a 7-0. We're working through a phase right now, Ms. Gramsci Smith, where one of my children, when they get really upset, they'll urinate themselves. So I'm hoping that'll stop when they get older. So.
Been there, done that. It will, hopefully.
That's a tough negotiation tactic when they can pull the nuclear bomb.
They're gonna appreciate that one day that you said that in a public meeting.
But I didn't say who it was.
You're gonna pay for that, Mr. Walsh.
Wait till puberty comes.
Well, maybe we'll open and roll at Northeast so they can get a good education.
A great school.
Moving along, Resolution 10E.
Now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Hicks be extended the gratitude of the City of Bethlehem, which has benefited from his more than 5 years of service and the special contributions he made to promoting public safety and protecting the lives and property of Bethlehem residents. Be it further resolved that now that Hicks is retired, he can relax and enjoy all life has to offer him. Be it further resolved that Hicks is extended every good wish for a long and happy retirement. Be it further resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Hicks is hereby approved to be transferred by the Bethlehem Police Department to Patriot Canine Rescue.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds?
I just want to thank the chief for sticking around tonight. I think that the fact that, you know, this meeting is now 2.5 hours and she stuck around just in case we had any questions here about the adoption, I think is something she deserves credit for. And I think we all thanks Hicks for the service as well. But thank you as well, Chief.
Thank you. The clerk would please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New business? Dr. Van Wert, you have an announcement for us?
There is going to be a Community Development Committee meeting next Tuesday, February 9th at 6 p.m. There are two agenda items, discussion of three proposed bills related to enabling third-party inspections in the city, and a bill amending HARB eligibility requirements. Due to COVID, this will be a virtual meeting, and instructions for public comment over the phone will be posted online on the City Council meeting calendar page.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Ms. Gramsci Smith?
I just wanted to clarify with, I think hopefully the mayor's still on, regarding the vaccine clinic. I've had some questions, and I just want to clarify that the clinic is totally going to be at Wind Creek now, including the First Presbyterian one, that will no longer be a site. So I just want to ask for clarification, and also will those going to the clinic receive like an email or some kind of notice beforehand so they know exactly what site they're going to?
So I can comment on that. Yes, all individuals signed up for First Pres have been notified, in addition to the press releases that were sent out, that they all received an email, which was the same method in which they used to sign up for the clinic. So all of that has been communicated to the folks. And yes, it will be at Wind Creek. It is a permanent site for the next, you know, at least through the month of February and the next several months.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Carter. That's what I had read, but I've had some people even ask me today about that. And the only other thing I would say is maybe give a shout out to the community, that we have a lot of mature community members that are going for vaccines. I know like on Thursday and Friday, some of my neighbors have to go, and it's going to be difficult for them, I think, to be driving and getting there. So if anyone in the community is available to help transport those to the vaccine clinic, I think that would be great. Thank you.
Mr. Brown?
Thank you, President Wilder. I forgot to mention somebody really important in the process of the chimney shift. Attorney Spurg was the first one when I received the documents from members of the community asking me. They had a lot of like specific written legal questions, and I kind of like, whoa, I don't know what to do here. So I immediately sent it to Robert and to Mrs. Spurg, and he did a quick research and came back to say, you know, the chimney birds, shoot birds are actually protected under the federal law and cannot be messed with. So I'm like, oh, right. So we have a great way to make sure that they are safe. So I failed to mention it. I really appreciate, Mrs. Burke, your quick responses and help in the process of what we need to do here in the city. So I have to thank both Robert Bidoni and Mrs. Burke. That's all. Thank you.
Any other new business for members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Very quick, and I hope it's good news. Mr. Alcohol, are you still there? Yes. There you go. Is that new machine that you were talking about? Is that the snow blower that I was talking to you about a few years ago?
Yeah, we did acquire a snow blower last year. And of course, we didn't have any snow last year. Maybe we should have bought one for this year. We could have done better.
Yeah. So how's it working? I mean, it's like a giant snow blower, right? It fits on the front of the truck.
Yeah, it's pretty substantial. Fills a dump truck in about 25 seconds, a 20-yard dump truck. Still adjusting on how to best deploy and use it. If you have you know, open area with a lot of snow in front of you, it's awesome. It goes extremely quickly. Our challenge is we use it in a downtown area to remove snow, and that's what we want it to do. In those areas, we have to pile the snow in the parking lanes and come through and grab it and throw it into dump trucks so we transport it, and that could go very fast. The problem is we're not always comfortable, basically tying up all the parking areas until we get to them with the blower. But we're adjusting, and hopefully we'll get it down pat soon. This is the first year of use. We used it last storm, and we're using it this storm.
Great. I'm glad it's working. Thank you.
Welcome.
Any other new business? Seeing none, everyone be well.
well, stay warm, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.